is the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. I'm Eric Balkman from the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour and the FFPC. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Balkman and the FFPC on Twitter at FFPC. Today I'm speaking with Nelson Verbit, a career winner of nearly $30,000 with the FFPC. In this episode, we discuss his FFPC main event team that is climbing to the top of the leaderboard and how he's treating Ezekiel Elliott on that roster. Plus, we break down Martavis Bryant's future with the Steelers and who he is targeting this week on the waiver wire. Also, to kick things off in this podcast, we'll hear from 2016 FFPC main event co-champion David Hubbard, the winner of the $250,000 grand prize in the contest, along with his co-manager Nelson Sousa. David Hubbard talks about the new normal in Green Bay and his thoughts on Jerick McKinnon and Mark Ingram. Before we get into the show, I want to remind everyone that you can get a listeners-only 30% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of the RotoViz content and tools, and it helps support the podcast channel as well. Now, without further ado, let's check in with the champ, David Hubbard. The big news this weekend, Dave, was the Aaron Rodgers injury for the Packers. And I'm not sure how many Aaron Rodgers teams you guys have, but are you looking to acquire Brett Hundley off the waiver wire to replace Rodgers, or maybe just to acquire another quarterback? Or for those teams where you're trying to replace him, and for fantasy owners that are trying to replace Rodgers, would you recommend that they go a different direction other than Hundley?
Funny thing is, we drafted all these teams. We don't have one Aaron Rodgers team. Didn't draft him one time, but we do own a lot of Devontae Adams, so it has a correlation where it affects us because I don't know if Adams will be as good without Rodgers. So Rodgers has an impact on a lot of players, Jordy, Montgomery, Bennett. So, but the Hundley kid, I probably won't be going after Hundley. We're set at quarterback. We're pretty much the guys we have we're going to stick with. And I actually like the kid in San Francisco better than I like Hundley. So I think he might actually be a better NFL quarterback than Hundley.
Yeah, so. C.J. Beathard, he almost helped the Niners win that game after they got, down all those points. Beathard looked very, very good. He's going to be another guy. The thing is, there's only two teams on bye this week, and I think it's Detroit and Houston. So anybody who has Stafford or anybody who has Watson, maybe they look at adding a guy like Beathard or Hundley. Certainly the Rodgers owners will be looking in the Hundley direction as well. Talking about those Lions, they're not a terrible defense. They're not world beaters, but they're not terrible. Mark Ingram looked fantastic against them in his first game without Adrian Peterson in the backfield with him. Are you expecting more performances like this one from Ingram going forward?
I think Ingram will have some more good games, but the problem with Ingram is what it always is with Sean Payton. 1 week it'll be Kamara, 1 week it'll be Ingram. Funny story, we actually have a really good primetime NFC team where we have a flex spot, and we have Ingram and Kamara, and we never get it right. We play Ingram 1 week and Kamara next week. So I don't have an answer to that question, Balky, because I have a team that is really, really good, and I never, ever get that right. So I think that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a nightmare if you own both those guys trying to figure out, okay, is this an Ingram week or is this a Kamara week?
Reminiscent of the old Patriots running back situation where you knew one of them was going to have a great year. You knew one of them was going to have a great week, but it was so difficult to pinpoint which one it was going to be on a week-to-week basis. At least that you got a 50% shot of getting it right.
Yes, you do. Flip a coin.
Sticking with the backfield, Jerick McKinnon looking very, very good. The last 2 weeks now, he's done it 2 weeks in a row. Do you think he's going to be in your starting lineup and fantasy owners? Should they be plugging him into their starting lineup more often than not now that we've seen him do this on back-to-back weeks?
Love McKinnon. I wish I owned more McKinnon. At one time, we had a lot of McKinnon, and then when Cook looked really good, our worst fault in managing fantasy teams is rotating the roster and won't hold guys. Even though we think McKinnon has a lot of world of talent, we say, oh, we got to move on to the next guy. We still have some McKinnon, and I would definitely play McKinnon every week. To me, I made a comment that looks like one of the best running backs in the NFL. Kid is super, super explosive.
I wonder
Love
what
the kid.
it took, because he's had the opportunity to do it before. I mean, he was an athletic freak. He played quarterback in college and really tested well in all of his measurables. And it just he got the opportunities and it just never seemed to click. And now all of a sudden it is clicking. And I don't know what if the light just turned on or what do you think it was with McKinnon that now all of a
Maybe
sudden he's
Cook
crushing it.
motivated him, because I read a report. That's why we drafted McKinnon. We drafted McKinnon a lot, and then, but like I said, we didn't hold him. He said in camp he wanted that job, and this was the year. But now they brought in Cook, drafted Cook high, got the job. Cook looked good, and maybe that motivated the kid. NFL players are a weird deal. Some you never know what makes them have that want to, is what I call it. Some players have a want to, you can just see it. Other guys just go through the motion. So you always want the guy that has the want to, and to me, McKinnon looks like he has a lot of want to right now.
Yeah, McKinnon obviously blocked long term by Dalvin Cook in Minnesota, but I believe this is his contract year, so he will be
I
playing
think this
for.
will make him some money right
Yeah,
here. Yeah.
definitely, definitely. So he'll be a guy to watch in free agency when we hit the offseason. Last question for you, Dave, before I let you go. Is the tight end position in Tampa all about Cameron Brate right now, or are you going to keep O.J. Howard around for a potential championship round run for the rookie? We always talk about rookie tight end struggling. O.J. Howard is a special tight end. Does he put it all together by the end of the season, all of a sudden things are clicking with him and Jameis Winston? Or is it Cameron Brate's job the rest of the year?
I think it's Cameron Brate's job as long as he stays healthy. Winston loves Brate. I even said when they drafted Howard, Winston like just loves Brate. So it might take Howard a couple of years to realize his potential. Brate might have another year after this year. It might take sometimes tight ends, young tight ends. It takes a special tight end like Ingram in New York. When that kid came out, I said, "Hey, this kid looks like Aaron Hernandez to me. He plays like Aaron Hernandez," and now he's getting the whole target share. So it might, but with Howard, it might take him a little while to adapt to the NFL. So I think it's all Cameron Brate. I wish it. Last year we owned a ton of Cameron Brate, and this year with Howard there, we didn't draft Cameron Brate as much. But Winston has a love affair with Cameron Brate, no doubt about it.
Yeah, Cameron Brate looking very good. Hopefully he gets Winston back on the field this week. David, this has always been fun talking to you each and every week here on the High Stakes Lowdown. We are more than halfway through the regular season of the Football Guys Players Championship and the FFPC Main Event. I wish you nothing but the rest, or nothing but the best, I should say, as we get underway for the rest of the regular season onto the championship round. We'll talk to you again soon, man.
Thanks, Walkie. I enjoyed it.
Thanks to David Hubbard for his input this week. Now here's $30,000 high stakes winner Nelson Verbit. All right, so Nelson, I want to talk to about what you actually do for a living. But before we get into that, what maybe some people don't know about you, you've already won the FFPC Terminator 2 years ago. You already have a top 25 FFPC main event finish under your belt, and now here you have another team this year that's right in the thick of it. It's been a special couple of years for you in the FFPC.
You know what, man? It's the only place I play. I believe in the league. I believe in the people that run the league. I believe in the way they run the league. And, you know, it's really the only place to be if you're a high-stakes player. They do everything right in there. And it's not just a promo for you guys. You guys are real people running a great business and a great league out there for everybody else. And honestly, it's the only place to be.
Well, we certainly appreciate that. So tell the listeners what you do for a living when you're not winning all this money playing high-stakes fantasy football.
I happen to own two credit card processing companies. If you ever heard of what merchant services is, I'm the guy that pretty much on the East Coast puts the credit card machines into the stores and the merchants is what I do. I'm the credit card guy.
The credit card king, as it were.
That would be the handle. I'm the credit card king.
I like it. So this year, for your drafts, you actually, especially because you're in the pros versus Joes this year, that people heard on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, they heard you draft in late July. Putting that together with going up against five FFPC Joes, six industry pros. You actually had some help in that draft that night, and you're doing all right. You're doing pretty good in that draft. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. My partner in business, Mark Harrelson, down in Texas, who also is partners with Blake Pyle, who won Football Guys Championship 2 years ago. We're all kind of related in business, as I think we talked about before. So Yeah, we did pretty good in that. We liked it, and then we're now, as I would say, terminated after Aaron Rodgers went down this week. Like a lot of other people, you know, we took a big hit there. We also we went heavy Packer with Montgomery, so we've taken a hit there. We've done all right, but I expect we're going to probably fall off now.
Well, we'll see what happens. Did you have any, not even specifically for that Pros versus Joe's League, but did you have any further help for you from anybody who may or may not be blood related to you for your fantasy drafts this year?
Yeah, it's funny you ask. My 11-year-old daughter Layla and my 9-year-old son Jagger, they did probably all 20 drafts with me. They they'll work the list. They'll do research. They know about every player in the NFL, so I believe in starting these young kids out right and getting them involved in fantasy football right from the beginning. And they do happen to, Layla and Jagger happen to be standing right by me, so if they could say hi to Eric.
Absolutely.
Hi.
What's up, guys?
Hi. What's up?
You certainly have done very well for yourself in these leagues this year, and with geniuses like this at your side, it is no doubt. It's no surprise that you were once again in the thick of the $250,000 chase, Nelson.
Yeah, it's nice. We are in the thick of it. It's nice having your two kids with their phones out checking scores and keeping Pop updated on Sunday. And it is nice. We are in the thick of it. We got a real good team this year. One of my teams in the main event, we have pretty high hopes for.
Yeah, and let's talk about that because I believe it's still undefeated. It's a 6-0 team, right?
It is. It's a points leader, 6-0 team. It's strong. It's running back based. And it's funny because it was one of those things that when I went to draft it with my buddy, Elliot was still suspended, and we kind of took a shot. We put a strategy together. We wanted to just do something different. And we took a shot with Elliot in the 1-5 slot, took him. But we promised each other we were going to have every backup possible, being Alfred Morris, McFadden, wherever we had to take them, we were going to take them. And we also discussed that we were going to take Doug Martin, who was also suspended, and we had to make sure that we got Rodgers. Now, we did catch, you know, a monster break there, like a lot of people did, which is what made the team so strong. We picked up Kareem Hunt in the third round. I was adamant on getting Kelsey in the second, and Hunt was there in the third somehow. So it's a real running back heavy base team, and we have really high expectations for it.
Yeah, going forward, that you certainly have. I mean, two pieces of this suddenly explosive Kansas City offense that we've seen this year, and two major pieces of that in Kelsey and Hunt, and Elliott. You know, let's talk about him a little bit because we have, and to once again bring the listeners behind the curtain. You and I are talking on Tuesday night here,
right.
And right. I mean, like I don't know when it probably came out a few hours before we started taping that.
Yeah.
Elliott will once again be playing this week. He gets the clearance from the courts, and he will be back playing for the Cowboys this week. Now, what I read is that it's only a 14-day thing. It's like a temporary stay on it, and then you know we'll see what happens after that. For
it,
you,
it is. Okay. It's a temporary injunction. He's guaranteed to play this week. Personally, I have mixed emotions on the whole thing, being I'm a monster Eagles fan,
right.
So I have mixed emotions there, but the fact that if he would have gone and been suspended now, he would have been back for the playoffs. He would have been back in week 13, correct?
Yes.
Right, week
yep.
13, we had it slated, you know, and that would have been the championship round. You know, before going into the big main event round, which would have been great to have him for the championship. I'm just pretty sure, you know, this is going to get delayed a little bit and pushed out, and then he's going to get suspended, and we're going to lose him going forward.
It's one of those things that we really don't have a precedent to look at and try to, like, guess what's going to happen. We're just kind of rolling with the punches. And for you, now you drafted both Morris and McFadden in this league to go with Elliott. Are those guys still on your roster? Are these guys that you want to keep around as much as you can with Elliott?
They're not going anywhere. And our strategy is pretty simple. We're going to play Doug Martin and Kareem Hunt and see which one of those guys emerges. I would imagine it's going to be McFadden for a few reasons. Morris can't catch the ball. and McFadden can catch the ball, and he's already proven himself to Jerry Jones, and what Jerry Jones wants is probably what's going to happen. So I think it's going to be McFadden, but I'm not cutting either one loose. There's not a chance.
Let's talk about the wide receiver position on this squad. Martavis Bryant's been in the news. He reportedly asked the Steelers to trade him after the game on Sunday. Now, he's since come out and said that he did not request a trade. The trade deadline is coming up in 2 weeks. I believe it's 2 weeks from today. Do you think he gets moved? And even if he doesn't, the fact that Juju Smith-Schuster has been out snapping him, is Smith-Schuster a must-own in the FFPC right now?
He is a must-own. And, you know, surprisingly, you know, he was still available out in a lot of leagues as of, you know, 2 weeks ago, which was kind of surprising. But there's no chance Bryant goes anywhere. I've just seen too often in that league when people start chirping, you know, good players that start chirping like A.J. Green did a couple weeks ago. The next week he saw 12 targets. You know, I fully expect him to see some targets this week and probably get into the end zone against Cincinnati. I'm playing him. I don't think he goes anywhere. He's the kind of guy, you know, if you have a good solid team like we have that's extremely stable, you can afford to gamble with him because if he blows up, you know, the game's going to be a blowout, and we've been 6-0 and able to ride through with most points playing him, getting, you know, 4, 6, 7 points a week. I believe in his talent, not so much his head, but I believe in his talent. And I think eventually, you know, they'll get on the same page. Look, listen, Roethlisberger, you know, has just been horrible up until this week pretty much. And, you know, a lot of it's quarterback driven, you know, as you know. It doesn't matter what kind of receiver you have. If the quarterback's not getting you the ball, it doesn't matter. You look at what A.J. Green did the first few weeks when Dalton was a mess. It doesn't matter. So I'm definitely riding that one out.
I want to shift back to maybe some draft strategy, maybe just to get your analysis on what a lot of people have taken advantage of, especially over the last few years, and that's pass-catching running backs in the mid-rounds. You look at guys who did not go extremely early in FFPC drafts, guys like Chris Thompson, Duke Johnson, Alvin Kamara, Buck Allen. They're all in the top 20 right now for fantasy points among running backs. So are the people that really, you know, we're talking about the benefits and telling everybody to go zero RB, are they being proved right this season because of players like this? Or do you think in the long run you still prefer to get a stud running back or two early on in drafts?
Well, it's a great question. I have Chris Thompson, I think, on 8 or 9 teams. All I had to do was see one interview in the summer with Kirk Cousins, and he wasn't even on a football field saying Chris Thompson's his blanket and his safety blanket. And being an NFC East guy, I already knew his talent, so I have him on a ton of teams drafted in 12th through 15th round. With that being said, if you pull up the FFPC main event right now and you pull up the top 15 teams, they have one similarity, every one of them. Everyone's got Fournette, Gurley, Elliott, or in Hunt. And usually two of those four, some three of those four. Okay, so, yeah, I think that you can do well, but, you know, Chris Thompson will still throw up the 3 spot, which he did a couple weeks ago. I think, you know, you can win a league like that. You can't win it all like that. You need a stud, and you need probably 2 of them, and, you know, and they need to be healthy. It's the only way to win it all, and that's what we're here to do is win it all.
Yeah, and health is a huge part of that too. And I think that's what makes those early round running backs so valuable, because if you can get a guy who's going to threaten to touch it 20 to 25 times, well, not even 20 to 20, but like 15 to 22 times a game, and as long as that guy's healthy for, you know, 15, 16 games, I mean, that and performing, you all of a sudden are way ahead of the curve, because those are so few and far between in leagues, and it's extremely rare, even in a 12-team league, for, you know, multiple teams to hit upon a guy like that. And certainly I totally agree with you. If you look at the top of the main event leaderboard, there are, you know, the majority of the teams in the top 20, top 30, they all have one stud running back. Like you said, a lot of them have two as well. Let's talk about the Terminator that you won 2 years ago. This is an interesting competition the FFPC offers. It is a 26-round draft experts draft where you have to drop a player off of your roster each week throughout the year until week 16. You are left with 10 players and on your roster. You won this. It's a $10,000 first prize. I want to specifically ask you, because this is so unique, what is the most difficult part of that competition, you know, cutting a player every week? How do you know who to cut? How do you know when it's time to go? I mean, obviously, if a guy tears his ACL, it's staring you in the face of what to do. But I got to admit, I have to believe that you had to have some pretty difficult decisions facing you throughout the majority of the season.
Yeah, you really do. I mean, you talk about how buys come into play, how luck comes into play. If you remember, I texted you, I'm surprised you didn't ask me this, a couple weeks ago, can I actually continue on with Terminator with no kicker?
Right.
That was, by the way, that was preseason. I happened to draft 3 kickers that were all cut or hurt. So I've been playing with no kicker. When Josh Lambeau got cut, somebody else got cut, Caleb Sturgis tore his knee, all of a sudden I had no kicker. So you need a little bit of luck with that. But the bye weeks are so instrumental on who you're going to cut, because you're drafting, I think, 26 or 28 players. So there are some easy cuts, but, you know, I'll tell you, one of the first guys I cut who was the 26-round draft pick was Schuster. You know, he was one of the first guys I let go. And, you know, you just don't know. I seen one of the leagues where the guy let go Deshaun Watson in, like, the third week.
Yeah, that's brutal.
You know, stuff like that, it's a killer. So you really have to project what's going on and be smart about it. You know, it's hard to win in that league keeping the backups. So the handcuffs in that, it's a little bit crazy because, you know, if you're keeping Darren McFadden on your roster who's getting 0 points in case Elliott gets hurt, you know, other teams that gamble in that, which I did when I won, I gambled. I only ended up drafting 2 quarterbacks, which was kind of crazy that year. But that was just the strategy I went with. You know, if a quarterback gets hurt, you're in a lot of trouble. And the same thing with a running back. You know, if he stays healthy and you're carrying the backup, you know, for 10, 11 weeks when you could be carrying, you know, an Adam Thielen, you know, when it gets down to, you know, the last 4 or 5 weeks, it makes it real difficult. So I think it's more of a gambling type tournament mixed in with some strategy. Honestly, you have to take chances or you can't win that.
Yeah, definitely. You and with things, you know, changing so fast in the NFL, you know, seemingly from a week to week basis, a lot of those decisions can look very smart 1 week and then very silly the next week. It's what makes it so fun.
By the way, I did cut Aaron Rodgers today.
Yeah, there you go. See, I'm telling you, sometimes these decisions are made for you. So sticking in the NFC North, a guy who is not expected to miss the rest of the season, but is expected to miss probably a few weeks, is Golden Tate with his shoulder injury that he suffered on Sunday. So you look at the other receivers in Detroit. For anybody who has Marvin Jones or Kenny Golladay or even Eric Ebron on their roster now, how much more are we expecting from those three players? Who picks up the Golden Tate targets while he's out?
It's big problems for them, honestly. I have plenty of shares of Marvin Jones, who's done well on very few targets. Been in the end zone a bunch, very few targets, but none of those guys are somebody. First of all, Galladay's still not practicing. Ebron, probably the most overrated tight end in the league. I would rather have George Kittles than Ebron, and I do. Can't catch the ball. Doesn't look like he's in the right place at the right time. They have problems. I think if you look at somebody that's going to really pick up the slack, you know, especially with that, you know, not going to be able to run those bubble screens with Tate, and, you know, short slants, I think Riddick probably picks up a lot of targets here.
Yeah, Riddick is a guy that, you know, not a lot of people are talking about. And people, honestly, if you have Riddick on your roster, you've probably already been playing him. This is a huge, huge boon for him, at least for the next 3 weeks, a guy that can really make some hay while the sun is shining with Tate out of the lineup. The opportunities and the targets will definitely be there. For
I like him a lot more than I like any of those receivers, to be honest with you.
Tampa Bay, another injury there. You have Jameis Winston has the, I believe it's a sprained AC joint. We don't know if he's going, or at the time of this taping, we don't know if he's going to be playing this coming week. It is an injury that people have played through before. But regardless, I mean, if it's Jameis Winston gutting out an injury playing this Sunday, or if it's a healthy Ryan Fitzpatrick, are you starting any Tampa players not named Mike Evans in any of your leagues with this situation going on in week 7?
I have not changed one thought about Tampa. Let me tell you something here. If I tell you 31 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, an 88 quarterback rating, and I tell you 28 touchdowns, 16 interceptions, 86 quarterback rating, that was Fitzpatrick 2 years ago and Winston in his best year. It's the same. I don't think there's any difference. I don't have any faith in Jameis Winston. He's going to throw and make as great a plays as you're going to see and then throw it right into the other team's hands. And Fitzpatrick's the same way. He'll still fire it up. You saw what he did with the Jets. I don't see it being any different. He's going to have his 4-touchdown, 1-interception game and his 1-touchdown, 4-interception game. I'm not a big Winston guy. I'm just not. I don't think it's going to make a big difference. I'm firing them all up.
So, I mean, and I know you have in that main event team, you have both. Do you still have Jacquizz Rodgers? I know you still have Doug Martin in that league.
Absolutely.
And so those players this week, you look at Doug Martin, you're playing him regardless of whether it's Winston or Fitzpatrick. Makes no difference to you then, right?
It really doesn't. I am playing him. And I was looking when the Elliott news came out, I moved him down to my flex just so I can analyze it a little bit because we're obviously going to go with Hunt and Elliott. Man, I got to tell you something. You know, sometimes you have to throw out the stats, throw out everything else, and have the eye test. And Doug Martin looks faster to me and quicker to me this year than I've ever seen him. And I like him. I like him. Especially, you know, Fitzpatrick's going to play. They're going to have to feed him the ball. And I like the guy. I'm pretty high on him.
I remember a lot of people in preseason talking about Doug Martin saying how good he looked and how hungry he looked and, like, you know, just that it was in this fantastic shape. And then you look at – so, okay, that's just talk. But then you look at Martin, his first game, you know, coming off the suspension, yeah. Looked great. I mean, it looked like he had already been in football shape, and it like he hadn't missed a beat. So I think there's something to be said for that.
We did. You know, honestly, I don't know what the percentage is, and we'll never really know. But we plugged him in right away. Took the leap of faith. I said the guy just looked too good. You know, I've seen a lot of Doug Martin. I've seen him when he's a little sluggish. He's got that first step this year. He looks hungry, mean. I like him big time.
Yeah, fortune favors the bold. It certainly paid off for you there. I'll tell you another thing that you guys did with this main event team this year that's really paid off for you, Deshaun Watson. You guys get him on this team. Is there any reason for anyone to believe that Watson can't keep crushing it week in, week out like he has been with DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller, Lamar Miller, Deontay Foreman looking rejuvenated in that backfield? Ryan Griffin obviously been a very serviceable tight end. He's got some pretty good weapons there. He's crushing it right now. Does he keep it up?
I think he does, but I'm going to correlate this to baseball a little bit. You know, when you see a pitcher for the second time, you got a little better chance. I think the more tape out on him, the more he's going to struggle. But, you know, he's a winner, man. I mean, you just go back to Clemson and that game, and the guy is a winner. I like Bill O'Brien. I think he's a good coach. They have weapons around him, which makes it easier. You know, they can run the ball if they need to run the ball, which always takes heat off a rookie quarterback. I'm happy to have him on my team. I'm going to stream him when I want to stream him. And he looks like a really good young player. There's really good young quarterbacks in this league right now. And, you know, the wave of the future is definitely here.
You have to love it if you're a Texans fan, too, in that AFC South division. It seems like it's wide open every single year. And Houston is always – you know, they've had the skill position guys. They've obviously always had the defense, and now it seems like they finally have the quarterback that can take them to that next level. We could be looking at a stranglehold in that division with Watson and the Texans going forward. Let's talk about blind bidding. This is obviously the waiver wire is running for you and I to talk about it now. It's running tomorrow night for anybody who's listening to this. It ran last night. When it comes to blind bidding in the main event and in the Football Guys Players Championship, what do you think the biggest mistake is that you see first-year players making when they're placing the bids on the FFPC waiver wire?
Well, it's like anything else. You know, anything else in life, when you're not familiar with something, you're a little timid, right? So the FFPC is an 11-week league, which, you know, if you're playing in Yahoo home leagues and everything else, it's 13 weeks, stretches it out, gives you a little more margin for error. You know, you got to get off to a good start in this league. You know, if you start out 1-4, you're not making the playoffs. 3 losses usually does not make the playoffs in these leagues. 2 losses, you got a shot, you better score some points. So, you know, you really got to get off to a good start. So I think the biggest mistake is people will save that FAB money. Instead of, if there's somebody you want to go get in week 1 or week 2, you go get them. You know, that money's worthless. You know, as you get through the year, you're sitting there, you know, 6-4. It doesn't matter that you got $700 sitting there. So that's the biggest mistake I see, is go get who you want to go get that's going to help you win now and in the future if you think it's that guy.
And I don't have any kind of statistical backing to say this, but I do know from my conversations with high stakes players, I've heard many, many times, oh, you know, and then I spent $700, $600 on this guy in week 2 or week 3, and he really helped our team out. I've heard that a ton. I haven't heard, I saved my money. I got this guy in week 10 and he really helped me for these 2 weeks, as a flex or something like that. It seems like the success stories I always hear and the teams that are successful are the teams that are actually using their FAB money early on. David Hubbard's a perfect example of this. I mean, he, wins the main event last year with Nelson Sousa. He's notorious for blowing a ton of his FAB money early on in the season. But, you know, if you get these players off the waiver wire early, they can help you all season long. Whereas if you sit on it, that's fine, but the players that you're getting there are only going to be able to help you for a few weeks, if at all.
It's all about planning ahead. You know, if you're making your team deeper and adding a quality player to your lineup, you want them as early as possible. It gives you the flexibility if somebody goes down. And that's what you're always thinking. You know, if this guy goes down, you know, it's next man up. You got to have the next man up. And if you wait too long into the season, you know, and you – don't get that guy, somebody outbids you late in the season, what did you do? So I like to go in real strong early because people are a little more timid. I kind of relate it to a poker tournament, which I'm sure you're familiar with. You know, in the beginning, people aren't, you know, the blinds are 25, 50. You know, they're not putting in $1,500 bets. They're playing to what the level is. And it's an advantage to be able to go get people early in the season if you're aggressive.
Nelson, you've been so very gracious with your time this week. I certainly appreciate it. Before I let you go, I do want to ask you one last question. A guy that you look at with the FFPC, a guy that was drafted relatively high that you are pretty much ready to give up on for 2017 because it hasn't clicked yet for him and you don't see it happening the rest of the season. And then on the other end of the spectrum, a guy that you'll actually be targeting, or that I should say that you did target on the waiver wire prior to week 7.
Well, we talked about Bryant. I'm a little disgusted with it, but I'm not bailing. That's for sure. There, a guy I don't get, because he's getting 15, 18 carries a game, and he's consistently 5 points a game. Is Abdullah? The guy literally drives me crazy. He looks like he has all the talent in the world. It looks like he's in the right spot, you know, and he just doesn't break out. It's very frustrating, and I think I'm finally going to bench him. It's hard. It's hard to watch. Guys I'm targeting this week, I think you have to look at Chris Ivory this week. I really do. You know, I didn't draft Fournette in one league. I mean, that shows you how smart I am. You're talking to a genius here. I don't have him on – I have 20 teams. I don't have him in a lineup. I always felt like because he was banged up so much at LSU and his usage there, you know, he was always milking something there. I didn't think he was going to come in and be this tough, but I saw his knee a little bit last week. I watched that play a couple times. And I would like to have Chris Ivory on my roster right now. One other guy I probably also looks like he's going to start making a turn is Josh Doxton. I think he has a lot of talent there. Another guy I don't have anywhere is Terrell Pryor. I didn't believe in him coming over, even in a great passing offense. And, you know, I love the way Cousins moves the ball around. I wasn't a Pryor guy. I think Doxton's going to start getting some targets here.
Yeah, he's certainly going to have the opportunity to look at the struggles of not just Terrell Pryor, but Jameson Crowder in that offense. And certainly they are looking for a wideout that can really stretch the field, that can get it done on the perimeter. And they haven't really found that yet. I'm with you on Pryor. I've blown it a few times with this strategy, but usually when there's a free agent or, you know, a trade or something, and it's a big name player, I usually tend to stay away from them that first year with their new team for whatever reason. It never seems to match up. The production never seems to match up where you have to draft him. So I didn't get Pryor everywhere, and it's interesting. I didn't get Pryor anywhere, and it's interesting you bring up Fournette too, because he's a guy I feel like I spent most of the summer talking up that I really was on board with Fournette, that I thought he was going to have a big rookie year, and then I, just as same as you, got him on exactly zero teams. I always seem to find a different way to use that, you know, third round or second round pick on somebody other than Fournette, and I'm paying the price right now. You know, not to say that I screwed up those second or third round picks, but Fournette's definitely a guy I wish I had, would have more shares of.
He is. He's got a ton of talent, and he's a big man with a, you know, great burst of speed, but he's been injury prone since he came out of high school, and I see it happening. If I had to put some money on and say within the next 4 weeks he sits a little bit here or there, it's coming.
And it's not like he's coming out of these games clean. I feel like, you know, when he talks to reporters afterwards, there's always a question like, oh, what did you do to your ankle there? How's your ankle? Or, you know, you know what I mean? It's always something with them, and you hope he can keep it together for an entire season because, man, he's been fun to watch.
He is. He's a terrific player, but, you know, he doesn't have the health track record. You know, he doesn't have the Elliott track record where he bruised his way. You know, they're bruising runners and big hits they take. And, you know, Elliott took that for 3 years in college, you know, big hits banging around. You know, Fournette was banged around a lot, you know, in the SEC. And he's a big man. He doesn't avoid contact at all. You know, he's a great player, nothing but props to him. But I'd be scared if he was my RB1 right now.
Well, nothing but props to you, man. I certainly enjoyed speaking with you this week. I wish you best of luck the rest of the way and in the main event in all your leagues this year. And listen, we'll talk again real soon. Thanks so much, Nelson.
Thanks, brother. Love you. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening to the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. And thanks to Grapes for our theme music. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the RotoViz Radio feed. It helps us find new listeners. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think. And follow us on Twitter @RotoVizRadio. And remember, you can always support the show by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.